Thank you, Pastor. Glory to God. Well, maybe I won't preach very long. And guy told me a story. He said he was preaching, and the preacher had been preaching a long time. And the guy stood up to leave, and he said, "Where are you going?" He said, "To get a haircut." He said, "Why didn't you get a haircut for church?" He said, "For church, I didn't need a haircut." So let's hope that's not what we have today, okay? And no, it won't be that bad. I hope when you leave today that something has changed in you. It won't be because of me, but it will be because of God. And I like to, you know, I like to, when I get done preaching, I like for people's lives to be changed. I like God to speak to us. And I've told God probably a bunch of times, you wouldn't know how many, but I'll guarantee you a bunch of times I've told him, "God, if you're not going to help me preach, then I ain't preaching." I'm telling you right now, it'd take about 5 minutes to figure it out. And we'll go home and try again some other time. Because without God's help, it's horrible. And so let's pray that God will help us today, all right? Amen. Let's go to the book of St. Mark, and I apologize, I forgot to give you some verses back there. And if I was to read everything that I've wanted to preach to you, it'd probably take about 30 minutes to read it all. So let's don't read everything, okay? And but St. Mark chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 21. I want to read just a couple of scriptures here. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Father, I pray today that somehow your word and my little simple message would touch somebody's life. And I pray that your spirit will reach down, that people do not hear me, but they hear what Christ has to say. And I'll give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to preach to you for just a few minutes, if the Lord would help me. And a setting of scripture here, we find Jesus had just performed a great miracle. And here in a minute, I'll go back and talk to you just a little bit about that miracle that he performed. But he, when he was passed again by ship unto the other side, aren't you glad we don't live in the days that they had then? Aren't you glad you get to get in your air-conditioned car and drive home? Or in the wintertime, you have a heater you can turn on, and we don't have to walk, and we don't have to... I'm glad I have a comfortable pair of shoes, and I can go home, and if it's hot when I get in the house, I can turn the air conditioner on, and in a few minutes, it will cool off. And if it's cold, I can light the heater, and in a few minutes, the heater will warm it up in there. And so I'm glad I'm not in the day when I had to go by boat and had to walk and ride a camel or a donkey, or, you know, I'm glad I'm in there. But Jesus had just passed over to the other side in a ship. And when he was passed over, there cometh one to him, a ruler of the Jews, of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he prayed to him, saying, "Please come to my house." Okay, I'm going to paraphrase a lot. "Please come to my house. My daughter is sick. And I need you to come, and if you will pray for her, she will be healed." So the Bible said Jesus decided to go with Jairus. And so they started down the road towards Jairus' house. Now, if it had been me, I'd have been impatient. I'd have wanted some flashing lights on the donkey, or, you know, I'd have wanted something to get the people out of the way. We're on an important mission. If I call an ambulance, you know, it's pretty serious, and I want them to get to my house as quick as they can. I've had a few bouts with kidney stones. The last time I had one, I'd been up over half the night, and Melanie got up and started getting ready for work, and I went in there and I said, I've had all I can take. I said, you call your mom and see if she can come and get Brayson. I said, I'm going to the hospital. She said, well, let me get ready. And I said, I'm ready. I'm going. You just have to come up there as soon as you get ready, because I ain't waiting no longer. I'm gone. And it ain't no fun. I drove, you know, I didn't know you could be all over the front seat and drive, but I did. And I made it there. I wanted to get there now. And when I got there, you know what I wanted? I wanted a shot of something that would kill the pain. So this is an important time for Jairus. Jairus said, is he asleep? I forgot to bring my bottle of water up here, and I know I'm going to need it. Jairus had an important thing going on. Something that he needed very bad. Thank you. He had a need that was very important. He had a need that was a crisis. His daughter was going to die. So Jairus is going down the road with Jesus. You know, I like to get down here where I can spit on you when I preach. They're going down the road. People are thronging all about them. They are carrying on probably conversation. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops. And he said, who touched me? Now you, if I was Jairus, I would have been, well, Lord, lots of people's touching you. Let's go. We got important business to take care of. But Jesus stopped. And he said, who touched me? And from off of the ground came a woman that said, Lord, it was me. And he said, your faith has made you whole. Now let me tell you a couple of facts about this lady that was on the ground. The Bible said she had an issue of blood. She had had this issue of blood for many years. And the Bible said the second fact that I want to bring to your attention is that she had spent all that she had on physicians, but rather grew worse. Day by day, she was getting worse. She had done been to every doctor she could afford to go to, but no hope was ever given to her because she rather grew worse. So now she's broke, she's poor, she has nothing. But one day, she happened to be in the right spot at the right time when the Master came by. I want to preach to us for just a little bit this afternoon about when facts come in contact with the truth. You see, the fact was that she was sick. The fact was that she had spent all she could do. She had done everything. She spent her life savings. She spent every bit of money she had. Had probably traded everything she could trade that she might go and get better. But she rather grew worse. The fact was there was no hope for her. But you see, one day she came in contact with one that said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And when she came in contact with the truth changed her life. Now let's go back. Now, Jairus said, okay, Lord, you got that problem taken care of. Let's get on down the road. Let's get on down to my house. So while they're on their way again to Jairus' house, there comes one running from Jairus' house and says, bother the master no more, for your daughter has died. What would your reaction be? Would you be mad at that lady that had the issue of blood? Because if she had not stopped us, we might have made it there on time.
before she died. So now, not only is Jairus' daughter sick unto death, but now the second fact is that she's dead. And so Jesus walks in and he said, she's only asleep. And they begin to laugh him to scorn. And the Bible said all the unbelievers he put outside, and he walked in that room where that young lady was that death had taken a hold of. And he walked up to her and took her by the hand and told her to get up out of that bed. And you know what she did? She stood right up out of that bed. Because the fact of death came in contact with the truth of the resurrection. Can I take you back to the first of this chapter? Jesus had came across the sea again by boat to the country of the Gadareans. The Gadareans, there was a man there that came to meet Jesus. The Bible said he saw him and came running. And they fell down and the demons began to talk to Jesus and said, why have you come to torment us before our time? And Jesus cast the devil out of him. You see, the fact there was, here's a man that's full of demons. Here's a man that's full of the devil. Here's a man that's full of many devils. They had bound him with chains. They had bound him. And they could not control this man. He was in the tombs. He would cut himself with stones. But you see, one day truth stepped onto the shore of the Gadareans. And there was a man that was bound by the enemy that Jesus set free. And when the townspeople came, they found him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Because he came in contact with the truth. I told you I'm not going to preach very long today. Another story I want to tell you about. Jesus got word that Lazarus had died. And the Bible said that when he got word that Lazarus had died, he tarried 2 more days at the place where he was. Before heading to where Lazarus was. So by the time he got there, and you know how the story goes. I don't have to read it to you. You know the story. By the time he got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Martha and Mary came to him and they said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother had not died. And Jesus said, he'll live again. So they go out to where they had buried him. And Jesus said, roll away the stone from his grave. Oh, Lord, do you understand? He's dead. Facts are, he's dead. The other fact is, he's been dead for 4 days. He probably stinks by now. And Jesus said, roll away the stone. She told him, she said, Lord, he said, he's just asleep. He's going to rise again. She said, Lord, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. They rolled that stone away and the Bible said that Jesus called out. He did not walk in that tomb, but he called out and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said he came forth bound hand and foot. You know what? If he hadn't called out Lazarus, probably every grave around there would have let somebody go because he was the resurrection. But he specifically called him out so as not to raise the whole countryside of dead. He just called out Lazarus's name. I want to tell you, you can't get dead enough that Jesus Christ cannot raise you. You cannot get sick enough that he cannot heal you. You cannot get poor enough that he cannot take care of your problems and your needs. You know why? Because he is the truth.
walking down the street one day. Jesus had a crowd of people. Amazing, isn't it? He had a crowd of people everywhere he went. Sitting on the side of the road was a man with a white coat on. He wore a white coat for this reason, because he was blind. He could not see. That meant that he was blind and he needed help. He had been there for many, many years. His name was Bartimaeus. And the Bible said that when he heard the noise beside him, I don't know, was probably somebody else that might have been crippled, but they could see. So I don't know, every day Bartimaeus might have picked this crippled man up. He may have carried him and the other man told him how to go. I don't know. But obviously somebody was close that Bartimaeus could say, what is going on with that noise? Well, there's people coming down the road. And he wondered who it was. And finally they said, it's Jesus. I don't know how Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was, except that somebody had heard, he had heard somebody tell stories about how Jesus had healed. He heard somebody tell stories about how Jesus had saved. And so when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, man, be quiet. Jesus wants nothing to do with you. But the Bible said the more that they tried to quiet him down, the louder he got. And the more he cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, fact was, he had been blind from birth. But the whole thing was coming down the road was the truth. And he knew that if he could get Jesus' attention, he could be healed. Jesus stopped and called for Bartimaeus. And the Bible said that when he stood up, he took off his garment of blindness and he threw it on the ground and he came to where Jesus was. And Jesus said, what is it you would have me do for you? And he said, Lord, that I might see. And Jesus said, go thy way. Your faith has made you whole. What is your fact today? What is the facts in your life today? I'm learning more and more. And I don't know. Some of you here have heard me. Some of you haven't. Some of you heard me preach a bunch of times. Some of you hadn't heard me preach very many times. Some of you heard me teach. But I want to tell you, there's something burning inside of me, way down inside. And I'm learning more and more. And I've been asking God to teach me and bring me to that place. Because I want to tell you something, I'm thinking more and more, there's a truth in God's Word that we're missing out on. There's some things that God has promised the church that I think we've been missing out on for many, many years. And I've seen it happen in the last few weeks, and it thrills me to death to see God heal people. Because I feel like that we've been so long that we went through a period that we've depended on everything else, because we have health insurance, because there's so many doctors, we can go to the doctor because of medication. We want a quick fix and we want to get taken care of. And when all the time we have in us, you see, Jesus doesn't walk this earth anymore. So we can't go find him and ask him. But he did say, if I go away, I will send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he shall lead you and guide you into all truth.
All I know is what my Bible says. As far as I know, I'm reading, you know, and I don't have a problem if you don't read the King James, that's fine. But I read the King James. That's all I've ever known, all I've ever read. So if I read another one, it messes me up because I can't figure out where I'm at in the Bible. You know, that's just because I've always read the King James. So I get a little confused and I'm like, that scripture don't sound right. What, you know? And so anyway, that's just me. I've been reading. I've been trying to find out. And I've been asking God, God, what's really yours? What's really your promise for the church? What's really the promise of the power of the Holy Ghost moving in our church? What have you really promised us that you would do? I know. I could come here and I could just sit. And I want to tell you something. We came here. I don't know how long we've been going here now. I told my wife, I said, let's go out to that little church out there. I've drove by it a bunch of times. I said, let's go out there and nobody will know who we are. Nobody will ever know that I was a preacher. And we can just sit there and listen. I don't have to preach. I don't have to do nothing. We can just sit there. Yeah. The only people that I had any idea that I knew here or that would know me when I came was Steve and Melissa. That's the only two people I would have even thought had any kind of connection to know who I was. The next week, here comes somebody over to me and said, are you a Cersei? Yeah. Well, do you know, are you kin to the servant and knew half of my family? Here we are. Here we are. I don't know what you want out of church. I don't know what you want from God. And I hope that I don't ruin what you want. But I want to tell you, there's something burning inside of me that says we are the church. We are the church. Doesn't matter to me if it's Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, or Wednesday night. We are the church. I am a part of the church. I drove down the road the other day, and I drive a lot. You can ask my wife. I put 60,000 miles on my truck this year, in the past year. So I do a lot of driving. I drove down the road, and the devil sitting in my truck, yep, 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 yep. You know how he does. Just telling me all how sorry I am. Finally, I said, devil, you are a liar. And I believe the Bible says that I don't have to listen to you. And number two, you have no power over me. You have no authority over me. So I began to say, in the name of Jesus, you can just crawl out the window and get out. And he just kept on, yeah. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you can get out. In the name, you know, it wasn't very long. He didn't hang around. And that little imp didn't keep sitting in my truck. He found out real quick that I wasn't going to shut up. I just kept saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I don't need, you know why? There is a power and authority because I am his and he is mine. And he has promised me that the devil has to be under my feet. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I love telling this. He didn't say he could do it. He said that's what he came to do. You give him the power to do it and you'll be dead before you get home. But he does not have that power to control life and death. You see, Jesus went to the grave and he went to the pits of hell for 3 days. And when he came out, he said, I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Well, y'all ready for me to be done? There, Pastor, I had notes today. What do you need from God? But Steve, what do you need from God? If he came today and said, what would you have me do for you today? What would you need from me? You don't have to answer me. I'm not trying to get you to answer me. Whew. Boy, we'd get a mess going, wouldn't we? What if he came over here and he looked at you and he said, what is it you need today? What would you need today? That's what he's asking. What is it that you have need of today? You see, it's not me. It's not me. It's not the pastor. It's not even the singers. But it's because of him, the truth. And whatever your situation is, all you need to do is have it meet up with the truth. Ye are a chosen generation. You say, Brother Rodney, you're just crazy. You're in the wrong place. You're at the wrong time. The wrong period of time. You should have been around back in the early days, in the 1900s, if that's what you want to see. No. I can tell you from the first day we came to this church, and we sat right over in somewhere over here. I don't even remember exactly which end of the bench we was on. From the first day we came, it was pouring down rain. And the pastor came out there on the front porch and he said, hey, I'm glad y'all came, but I'm not coming out there in the rain to shake your hand. We came back the next Sunday and I cannot tell you the confirmation that I've had from God time and time again. That this is the right place. You can tell me it ain't all you want. I don't care. I know what God has spoken to me. We have a prayer meeting on Thursday night. Is it the right place? Yes, it is. If you ever been to that prayer meeting and felt the presence of God as He begins to speak to us and begins to talk to us, it's the right place at the right time. And I'm telling you, I am in an era, and I don't know what this church wants and what this people want, but I do know what I desire, and I believe I'm on tune with the pastor. We want to see a move of the Holy Ghost like it has not been seen. I'm not talking about a fake. I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm talking about a genuine move of the power of God that when people walk out of here, they have to go find somebody and say, hey, did you hear what happened to me this weekend? Did you hear? What are you saying? I'm saying when they come in sick and they walk to the front, the Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise them up. If they committed sin, it shall be forgiven them. That's my desire. That's my heart. That's my heart. To see a genuine move of God. If you see me run the backs of the pews, you'll know it ain't for show. I've done it, but it's been many years and a lot of pounds ago. But I want to tell you something. You get the power of God moving just right, and I might do it again. Doesn't bother me. If you think I'm scared, I probably would be about the first two steps. But then you let the power of God begin to move. And there's something about it makes you lose every fear you've got. Makes you lose every inch, ounce of that skepticism that you have. You say, Brother Rodney, you're trying to be spiritual? I sure am. I sure am. You know, you always hear people say that. Oh, they'll think I'm trying to be spiritual. Well, I am. That's what I want to be. I've been human long enough. I have no problem being human. But what I want to be is in the presence of the Almighty. I'm telling you, I want to see it till the day that even Robbie takes off running around the church. We're going to know that's God, ain't we? Amen. Amen. You laugh. I've seen it before. Praise God. Stand with me if you will.